22nd. If you don't pick it up by the next couple Sundays, then we'll go ahead and mail them to you, okay? But come up here after service and you can get those. And we're just going to go ahead right now just for a few minutes. And I'm just going to lead us in prayer. And today I'm going to focus on marriage and the family. And I think it's just interesting because when Regina and I got together, I was a backslidden little Baptist boy. And I was not following the Lord. And we were trying to get more and more serious in our relationship. And I can tell you the first time I had the nerve to tell Miss Regina that in order for us to move forward, she needed God. Woo! Boy, I mean, she just read my mail and said, "You hypocrite of all people." Because I wasn't living for the Lord. But I was telling her, "Honey, it's impossible for us to go forward without God's help." And I want you to know something that you're going to get to hear this twice because it's part of my message today. But I want you to know something that all of us, no matter where we are, individual, in a relationship, married, no matter where we are at in life, I want you to know something. Life was never intended for you to handle on your own accord or in your own power. There are moments that are too big for us and we need God. I'm going to tell you this now, and I'm going to tell you it again later. The first time I became a real man was when I received the Lord and committed myself to Him. But right now, we're just going to pray a few minutes over marriage and families. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just come to You right now, Father. And Lord, in our marriage, we put You first, God. Father, we put You as the primary focus in our marriage, Father, for it's You who decided it was not good for a man to be on his own. Lord, marriage is ordained of You, and Father, therefore, we need Your help to navigate it. Father, we pray over families right now, Father. We pray over those who are dating right now and are going to become married. And God, we pray over every family, no matter where they're at, Father God, no matter what their situation is, Father. First, in this house, we pray Your blessing upon every family, every marriage, every couple, Father. And Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, just in general, we pray over families, Father God. If they don't know You, let them find You, Father God. Lord, everything they need is in You, God. You will help them, God, with finances. You'll help them navigate relationships, Father. Lord, You will help siblings get along. God, You will strengthen husbands and wives. Moms and dads, Father, grandparents, You will strengthen them to help, to love, to know how to reach towards each other, to know how to depend on each other, Father. Lord, to know how to lay down their life for each other, just like You laid down Your life on the cross for us. God, I just declare Your blessing, God, over households, Father. Lord, that You will give them wisdom. You will give them guidance, Father God. Lord, I thank You that when they leave their homes, whether it be to go to school, whether it be to go to work, Father, to the grocery store, to do anything that they need to do, Lord, I thank You that Your protection and Your covering will be over them, Father. And Lord, right now, I pray, God, that families and homes are filled, God, with Your peace, and God, that they find that place of safety in You and in each other, Father God. Lord, I pray that families dedicate and sanctify their house to You, Father God, that they will let no other presence or authority be in that house except for You and Your mercy and grace, Father God. Lord, I thank You that supernaturally, Father God, symbolically, God, over the doorstep and over the threshold of our homes, Father, I thank You that You can be seen in the supernatural realm, God. I thank You that the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of darkness knows where You reside over our households, Father God. Lord, over our lives, that we are Yours, God, and that You strengthen us, keep us, You build us, and make us stronger, Father God, and You help us every day of our life, Father. And I thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, hallelujah. I will. Praise God. Okay, now what we're going to do right now is we're going to go ahead and take up the offering. And I forgot, didn't I, that we have to let the children go and the teens go for their classes this morning. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And then we're just going to look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I want to remind you that in this particular chapter, the man of God was teaching people that when it comes to giving, we should prepare that before we even come to church. We should know what we're going to give. In other words, what it was saying in this particular scripture is that he had already told some people about what a great giving church this was. And he said, so I'm speaking to you just to let you know, prepare ahead of time what you're going to give. And I want you to know something, that when it comes to the Lord, one thing we should do as a people of God is just like the Lord taught from Genesis chapter 3, I believe, or 6 or 1 or somewhere in there. I'd have to look it up to remember exactly what chapter it is, where Cain and Abel brought offerings to the Lord. And what happened was one of them prioritized God and brought his offering at the beginning of receiving what he had received. And one of him just would give to God haphazardly if he felt he had something left over to give. So what I want you to learn is that when you get your paycheck, the first thing you should do is prioritize what you're going to give to God. And the reason you do that is that the Lord says that if you will do it that way, then supernaturally he will protect and bless what you have left over, okay? I want you to know something, that the Lord says that he wants you to give. Why? So it gives him the opportunity to prove who he is, that he's your provider, he's your protector, he's your keeper, and he wants to be in unity with you in every area of your life. Just like you give the Lord your heart and believe him to keep you saved till you go to heaven and protect you through life, he wants you to give in this area so that he can put his hand on it, okay? So we're just going to pray, blessing, Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, what anybody has to give today, God, let them bring it to you, Father. You will bless them. You will help them. You will keep them, Father. Lord, the Bible says that you will rebuke the devourer, or you'll stop the devil's plans against us. God, it also says that you will take what we have and you will cause it to last longer than it would on its own, Father God, that it would be able to do more because you are involved by faith in what's going on in our life in this area, Father. Lord, I thank you for your hand of blessing upon every person. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Bring your offerings to the Lord. Hallelujah.
Shall Jesus from the mountain, Jesus in the sea, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountain, Jesus in the stream, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So this month, we're definitely focused on prayer, and we're going to continue in that. But since Pastor Regina opened up some things personally this morning, I'm just going to stop for a minute. And I want to finish one thing first, and that's that she was telling the story how on the Sunday she got saved, after the pastor said, hey, everybody bow your heads, close your eyes, and if you're here today and you need the Lord, we want you to get saved. She'll tell you two things. Number one, if on that day the pastor had asked her to come up in front of everybody, she would have never done that, just because where she was at. You know, she had been through a life of abuse and all kinds of things. you know. And so it was just a place of intimidation for her to be in front of lots of people. And so the funny thing is that the pastor said, keep your eyes closed, nobody's eyes open, and let's pray together and Miss Regina get saved. And then right away, the worship leader and the pastor's wife came and said, oh, congratulations, honey. It is so nice that you got saved. And immediately she got mad. And she said, you know, those bunch of liars, I didn't think there'd be liars in the church. He told them to close their eyes, and they clearly kept their eyes open and looked at me and all this other stuff. And she said it took her about 3 weeks to realize that it was just a small little church. They knew everybody. So the only person on that Sunday that wasn't saved was her. So 3 weeks later, after the Lord showed that to her, she went, oh, okay, Lord, thank you. So we got to be careful, right? Because sometimes when we think things, it's not always the case, right? And we have to always be remembrance of that. The other thing that I just want to verify, because this is something I was going to say in my message, and there's two scriptures here that I'm going to start with that I want to convey this, is that, you know, we were taught a lot of things growing up. Culturally, I was taught a lot of things. I want you to know that when I grew up, a man could not cry. A man could not complain. A man could not express fear. A man could not ever be worried or anything. You had to be tough. You had to be tenacious. And I want you to know something, that even though we are supposed to be strong as men, I want you to know something, that I tried to do all that on my own effort. And I just want you to know, I never became a true strong man until I made room for Jesus. And I want you to know something, I will still protect my family. I will still be strong in those things. But I also want you to know that it's just different when the Lord is truly the one that's in control and sitting on the throne and working with you to be who you are, how you are, on an ongoing daily basis, okay? So I want to start here with a couple scriptures because it's just very, very much what we need to understand and where we need to be and how our heart needs to be open to the Lord, so that not only can we receive the word, but we can pray and we can trust him and we can have peace as we go through life. It says in the book of Psalms, chapter 46, verse 1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You know, when that scripture says that he's our refuge, it means that the Lord is the place where we can go. The Lord is a safe place, a haven, a blessing, a place of protection, a place of empowerment. And he's the one who will help us in every situation in life. It says that he is our strength. I want you to know something, that in the physical realm, yes, we can be strong. But I want you to know something, we're not going to be strong and complete until we have the Lord. Because the Bible says that when we come into salvation, the Lord sanctifies us wholly, spirit, soul, and body. I want you to know that the Lord has created you who you are, and he cares about every area of our life. He cares about us emotionally. He cares about us physically. And he certainly cares about us spiritually. And I want you to know something, that it takes the Lord to bring the balance to every one of those facets of who we are and bring us into who we are supposed to be in the fullness of God. Amen? I want you to know something, that when I first got saved, man, I started repenting before the Lord, because I will tell you that in my family, believe it or not, as nice as I am today, we did have a habit of fighting and being violent. I mean, we were hot-tempered. I want you to know that I went through a season of my life where if anybody didn't like black people, or if anybody would let me know they didn't like black people, then I felt like it was my goal and my job to solidify the fact that I am what they think I am, and they shouldn't like me. I mean, I'm telling you, for a season of my youth, that was my mentality and my mindset. If you were even coming at me looking wrong, I didn't wait for you to hit me first. I'm telling you, I went for you as quick as I could, and it did not matter. I was just a wild man. And so when the Lord first started getting me saved, I want you to know something, that there was a time where I started repenting, because I started realizing that, first of all, my attitude towards men or women wasn't right. Guys, even if you were my friend, I kept an eye on you because I knew at some point we might need to clash. And ladies that came across my path, my motive towards them was not good at all. And I started realizing once I was saved that the Lord wanted me to meet people to make connections, to meet people to be an example to them. Instead of being an example of someone who could create a bad, you know, experience with a black man, why couldn't I create a good experience with one? Instead of mistreating this dear, sweet lady that the Lord put beside me, instead of lying to her and deceiving her, you stop that. And mistreating her, do you want me to tell them what happened when we had our first argument? Well, we'll wait on that for a minute. But instead of mistreating her, he wanted me to be there to help her get healed from her yesterday. He wanted me to be there to be a place of safety, kindness, and let her learn what can be in a relationship when God comes in to the person's life and makes them who they're supposed to be. I will tell on her because we went a long time without fighting. But then all of a sudden, one day, we did have a disagreement. And while we're having this disagreement, her and I are both passionate, so we're speaking, you know, pretty firm there. The next thing I know, things were flying in the air towards me, and she came running towards me, bam, and just hits me. And I said, "Woman, what are you doing?" I said, "We argue and we fight, and then we make up. We don't hit each other." You know, thank God. Thank God I had three sisters, and my dad would never let you get away with that stuff. But I just wanted her to know, "What are you doing?" And I had to realize with the Lord's help that she was responding out of past relationships. And I just had to tell her, "Honey, don't ever think that I'm going to treat you that way. I'm different than that." And so we have to make sure that we understand where people are in every situation that we face. But I wanted to start here in these two scriptures because, first of all, I want you to know that God is our refuge and our strength. He's the place where we go when we are in need. Amen? We're not supposed to turn to ourselves. We're not supposed to turn to man's way of thinking. The Bible says that there is a way that man operates, but it leads to destruction and it never leads to good. And it doesn't lead to the positive resolutions that God would want us to have. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to show you another scripture here to just build this foundation for just a minute, and then we're going to get into prayer. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isaiah 41:10 says this, "Fear thou not," this is the Lord speaking, "for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." I want you to know something, that we need to be prepared for the fact that when it comes to the Lord, we don't have to hide anything. First of all, he already knows you, praise God. He knows the good about you. He knows the bad about you. He knows your personality, your nature, and all the things about you that he created in you. Remember, I was telling you the story about how I started repenting because I was mad and angry and it hurt people. And I started thinking about, man, most times when people have an interaction with me, when I'm in one of my bad moods, it's not positive. And God, I repent of hurting those people. And I was really thinking that, Lord, I'm so different than what you've made me. And the Lord clearly spoke to me one time, and he said, "Philip, you're meant to be strong. said, I didn't make you to be weak. He said, but the tenaciousness you have to live and to fight and to drive all those things that are driven in you, he said, that tenaciousness was supposed to be cultured by my spirit so you'd be tenacious in the realm of faith. You'd be tenacious in bringing peace. You'd be tenacious in bringing being a safe place for your wife, for your son, for those you love, to be a place, an example for me. And I want you to know something, that many times we have good characteristics to a degree. Many times we have good habits to a degree. Some of us will work really hard. You know, I knew a man that he worked, that I worked with, and buddy, he just worked. He's one of the best workers I ever knew. And but he had struggled. He'd been divorced a couple times and all this other stuff, and I was praying for him, and the one day the Lord said, hey, ask him why he worked so hard. And this guy was kind of cussy, fussy. He wasn't, you know, he didn't go to church and all that kind of stuff. And I just asked him, I said, man, why are you such a hard worker? And he said, oh, man, when I was young, he said, and I was just little, I read a scripture that says, work is unto the Lord. And I just thought right away, man, what if he could apply a scripture to the other areas of his life, just like the Lord had me do? Because when the Lord helps you apply his word to who you are, you begin to change because it's the way God intended. We don't often understand this, but the Bible says that my word is spirit and life. Another scripture says that in the word of God, our members are actually completed. I want you to know that our personalities as an individual, who we are and who we were truly meant to be, we can have flashes of our nature. We can have different parts of our character that shines in different ways. But the fullness of who we were intended to be as a person, how we're supposed to handle life, how we're going to operate, how we're supposed to live, how we operate in our relationships within our family and within our friendships and within our work relationships, none of those things can come to the fullness of the potential of what God intended until he's working with us in each of those areas. Amen? And one of the reasons why the Lord always reveals scriptures to us that talk about how he's there for us, like this one that says, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee. The reason why these scriptures are here is so that we can start understanding that we cannot be the men and the women and the people of God that we were intended to be until we make room for him to help us with our life. And I want you to know something, that this is a foundation that we must know and understand if we're going to be able to pray and release prayer and faith the way God wants us to release prayer and faith. See, I want you to know something. When you pray unto God, I want you to know that he has an expectation of how you're going to come into that moment with him. First of all, you know we've been talking about this, but the Bible says that we are to come boldly before the throne of grace. In other words, what that is really saying to us is that, hey, when you approach God, have confidence. Have confidence to know that he wants to hear from you. And also have confidence to know that he wants to help you. Doesn't mean that everything's going to change overnight. You know, it's funny because sometimes we take years to mess stuff up and we want the Lord to fix it in a moment of time. Hallelujah, praise God. But I want you to know something, that it takes time for us to make room for the Lord to help us. Amen? But he certainly will help us, and he certainly does help us. So we're just going to continue to look here because I just want to read some things to you. And one thing we're going to do is, I'm not going to go through all the details of it today, praise God. But I want to remind you of a story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and it tells a story of a time where there was a king named Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat was the king of Israel, and what it was told to him was that there was a great multitude that is coming against you beyond the sea and the side of Syria, and behold, all of these kings were set forth against Jehoshaphat and the people of God. And it says here in verse 3 that Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. He even proclaimed a fast through all of Judah, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. In other words, I want you to know something. Thank God this king at that time was smart enough to know that if he was going to get through this, he needed the Lord's help. And he actually requested of everybody in the city to fast. Woo! To give up food for 3 days. But that's a whole other subject that we'll get into. But what I want you to see here is that this man understood that the several kings that were set up against them was bigger than what they could handle on their own. So he went and started to pray and ask God for help. And I just want to skip down here to let you see what the core of his prayer was when he went before the Lord. And in verse 12, it says that Jehoshaphat was praying, and he said, "Oh, our God, will thou not judge them?" Meaning their enemies. He said, "For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." I want you to know something. That I go to this prayer because this man was making a prayer for a nation. But I want you to see something. That this was the way, and this is the way, that oftentimes we need to make a prayer before the Lord. Lord, this situation I'm facing is too big for me. You know, when I first asked Miss Regina to get saved, and I told her, "Honey, you need God," praise God, what I was really coming to the resolution was, hey, I love her, but things are not going well on my own strength. Yeah, this wild woman, I don't know how to handle this woman, praise God. But what was really in my heart was, hey, I really love her and I want things to work, but clearly I can't handle this on my own. Even though I was asking her, telling her, "Honey, you need God," what I was really understanding was, hey, I didn't mean just for her. If I had conveyed it properly, I would have been saying, "Honey, this is about me too, because right now I don't see a path forward without his help." And I want you to know something, that really that's what the Lord was trying to get me to process. This situation is too big for me. Also, he was trying to get me to process the next step. I don't know what to do. And I want you to know something, that when you seek the Lord, he will start helping you understand the first part of wisdom, the first part of humility, and I believe the first part of being a real man or a real woman is to be humble enough to say, "I don't know what to do here." Praise God. In fact, the Bible says that the Lord will resist the proud and those who try to do something on their own, but he will lift up the humble that actually come to him and make room and say, "Hey, Lord, what should I do here? I need your help." And I think it's powerful because this king in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 prayed this prayer, and guess what? It says that the Lord answered. And there is a prophet there that said, "Hey, thus saith the Lord, go out and have confidence, because this battle is not yours, but it's his." Woo! See, sometimes the reason we mess stuff up more and more is because we're always trying to handle things that belong to him. Praise God. I'm going to make my own decision. You know, even though I don't make enough to pay it off, I'm going to go down here to this place that will give you money even though they shouldn't, and build up debt over you. Praise God. Instead of waiting patiently to hear the direction that God gives. And what's so powerful is that when these people did exactly what God wanted them to do, guess what? He showed up. And he defeated their enemies. And I'm not telling you that the Lord wants us to do this today, but back in those days, one thing they did was when their enemies fell, they'd go out there and collect the spoils that was left over. And they collected an abundance of stuff that they needed back in that day. Now, we don't want to do that today, praise God. Hallelujah. But I'm just telling you that that's what happened. In case you read that, I want you to just understand it. But let me just show you one more thing here that it says. That this might look a little strange, and certainly I don't know if I'd be strong enough to do it back in those days, but when this king was ready to fight these other three kings that was around him because the Lord had empowered him, and he was praying and praying and praying, actually, this is what the Lord told him to do. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21, it says, "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and praise the Lord, he set ambushments about the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten." In other words, the Lord stirred something up, and those enemies that was supposed to be coming after Judah ended up falling upon themselves. And God's people were saved and rescued. Now, even though I read this story and I think, boy, that's great faith to go out and praise and sing before the Lord when you got men around you with swords, praise God. I pray that I would be strong enough to do that. Amen. Praise God. But what I really want you to see here is that the most important thing is that these people received help and got brought out of the situation because they sought the Lord. Amen. Which is going to take us right back to James chapter 5. And I want to remind you something, that in James chapter 5, we're going to read something that's powerful. It says here in James chapter 5, in verse 13, "Is any among you sick? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs. Is any sick among you? Let him call of the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick." You know, when we pray, let us make sure we have faith. Remember, the Bible says that those who come to the Lord must honor him as who he is and must know that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I want you to know something, that when you put your trust in God, he will answer you. He will help you. Now, we're going to learn that not every time is it going to work out exactly as you thought. Not every time are you going to get it your way. But I will tell you that every time you go to the Lord, you are going to see the impact and the help that he provides for us. It says here that not only will the prayer of faith save the sick, but the Lord will not only raise him up, but if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. I want you to know something, that once you get the revelation of the Lord and he helps you, you open up your heart. And when you open up your heart to God, he won't just heal one area of your life. He will work across all the areas of your life. And he will help us. Amen? It says here, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed." Again, I want you to see something, that when we work together, you know, when Regina and I started praying together, things started changing. And I want you to know something, that when you work together, it says confess your faults one to another. Now, what it doesn't tell you is to get on the phone and start complaining about your spouse to somebody on Facebook or anything else. The Bible doesn't tell you that when someone tells you something in confidence that you're supposed to go around running your mouth. In fact, the Bible says, don't do that. Keep it confidential and lift it up before the Lord and pray. You know, I think one reason why Regina's parents embraced me so much and loved me was because she made a commitment years ago that when it comes to things of our personal situation that weren't good, she wasn't going to go spread it around to everybody. Praise the Lord. Amen. But it says that if we will confess our faults one to another and pray one for another, in other words, when we start working on things involving God, instead of bringing accusations against each other, instead of arguing against each other, this is your fault, this is your fault. I can't stand you, I can't stand you. You know, when we get away from that kind of stuff and we start saying, okay, this is our situation. You or I are not perfect, and this is the mistake. But instead of accusing each other, let's lift this up before the Lord. All of a sudden, we can be healed. Our situations can be changed. And then I really want to go into this for just a minute because it says the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And then it says Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, I only want to reference this just for a few minutes because here's what's powerful. There's a prophet named Elijah that was letting the people of God know that you're off track, you're not doing anything, you're serving Baal, false gods, living your own way, you're not honoring the Lord and serving him. That's why things are bad. And a famine is now coming that's going to be here for the next 3.5 years because you brought yourself into a place of drought and lack because of your lack of serving God. Oftentimes we find ourselves in tough situations because we knew him and walked away from him. Or we know him, but we're trying to do things in our own way. And what's so powerful is that here Elijah prayed and it began to rain. Now I'm saying that to you because we think of that as so profound, and it is. But what we need to see in the scripture here is it says that Elijah was just a normal person like you and I. Elijah had his own struggles. Elijah had his own humanity. In fact, right after he prayed and brought down rain, he found that someone was coming against him and wanted to seek his life, and he ran away scared like anybody else might. But what's so powerful is that the Bible is letting us know that in our humanity, we don't have to be perfect. We need to trust in God. And when we pray, we need to be sincere. When we pray, we need to be focused. But we need to know that our prayers in the midst of our humanity still have power to produce a lot of results. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Uh-oh, my iPad needs to cooperate here. It even says here, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which covereth the sinner from the error of his ways shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. You know, I want you to know something, because no matter where you're at in life, the Lord wants you to be confident in coming towards him, because he's most concerned about helping us out of the situations we may be in and continuing to help us in life. You know, the Bible says that there's no condemnation to those who are in the Lord. In other words, I want to remind you, especially as we set our heart to be praying over our families, over our future, over our life, over our finances, that even when we have made mistakes, that have put us in negative situations, once we turn to the Lord, it's time for us to gain a confidence that He's with us and He wants to help us through every situation. Amen? And so today, I really want us to have an open heart to say, God, help me right now where I'm at. Bring me direction. Give me clarity. Help me find answers, because the Lord is with you to do just that. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just lift you up and we exalt you today, Father. Lord, I thank you that as we seek you, you will be found. Lord, I thank you that you have a hope and a desire that we will come to you. In fact, the word says that you take joy, that you are pleased when you get to help us in this thing called life. Lord, I thank you that the word says that there's no evil thoughts that you have towards us, only good thoughts to bring us to an expected end. Father, I pray today that you would minimize the voice of the enemy in our life. Lord, I pray that, God, you would strengthen our relationships, because you're going to strengthen our ability to trust each other, to think well of each other. Lord, I thank you that you're going to help us in the area of finances, God. You're going to give us clarity and direction, and you're going to help us. God, you're going to help us navigate relationships. And Lord, you're going to help us be a better example of who you are. You're going to help us know how to help others and to help ourselves, Father. Because the Bible says that if we cannot love ourselves, which we can only do through you, we can't possibly love others. And God, we want to be able to do that. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. I'm going to. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, we put Tiger and Cooper before you, Father. And Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that you break sickness over them, Father. Lord, that you restore them to health, God. Let every symptom leave their bodies, Father, and let them be healed in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for Sophia, who's dealing with God's situations. And Lord, we just put her before you. And Father, give her clarity. Give her wisdom. God, help her every step of the way as she finds you to help her find clarity. And God, be restored from these situations. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Now join with me, because we're going to pray for this powerful young lady of faith. Jeannie this morning, because for those of you who don't know, she's been dealing with an ongoing health battle, and recently she went here and got some diagnosis, and it's taken months for the doctor to find out what the problem was. So she prayed, the Lord told her to get a second opinion, and thankfully they have found some things. Her thyroid glands are swollen to way beyond the size they're supposed to be. And they are saying that this is cancerous, right?
There's a chance.
Yeah. Okay. So what we're believing God is that these things are not cancerous, and that when they do the surgery, it will correct everything and will restore her to fullness of health. Amen? Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we put Jeannie before you, God, and we thank you for her and for her life, God. We thank you for who she is in you, Lord. And Father, right now we thank you, God, that every step she takes, every procedure, Father God, everything, God, will be touched by you, Father God. Lord, you'll bring healing and the restoration of health to her, Father. And Lord, I thank you that at the end of this process, Father, they're going to find her health-free, God. They're going to find her sickness gone and total restoration, Father. And Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now we're going to go over here to the other side of the house. Praise God. We're going to pray for this handsome young man over here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, God, that as he steps into this time for this test to be done, Father, Lord, first of all, I thank you that they're going to show him exactly where he is, Father, healed and blessed in you, God. Father, anything that will be found, you will handle, God. And Lord, God, you're going to bring him through this, God. And God, we know that his hand is in, his life is in your hands, Father. And that you certainly will do your will in his life, Father. And Lord, I thank you that you'll be with him, strengthen him, give him grace through all these steps and these tests, Father, and bring resolutions in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, well, if there's anyone else here that's in need of prayer, we'll be here to pray with you. And I just want you to go and be blessed this week and make sure that we're making room for the Lord and make sure that we're taking time to pray, read the Word, and work with him on a daily basis. Amen? Remember, he says that he provides for us daily bread. And what that means is that he has an expectation to help you every day of your life and for you to not go through a day without his help. Amen? Praise God. God bless you. Thank you.